Kind of different being up here. Kind of surreal, actually. Because at the beginning of this year, did not think I would be here. But God. Honey, if you can come up here, please. On behalf of us both, I just want to say collectively, from my family to all of you, thank you for praying for us while I was in the hospital, practically fighting for my life. And if it wasn't for the prayers of the saints, I can guarantee you I would not be here. God, the devil had a plan, but God had a different one. And just on behalf of us both, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And may God bless you and your family as you blessed mine. And I hope you're ready and I hope you had breakfast because God's going to move very shortly. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Flood every crevice of this place this morning. Increase your presence. Increase your presence, Jesus. Come on, just pray in your own language. If you have a heavenly language, just pray. I believe there's going to be an outpouring of the fire of God like we've never seen before. I believe we're going to see mighty miracles this morning. I believe God is going to show up in a way that we never thought possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. For only you are holy. For only you are holy. We join with the 24 elders and say, holy, holy is the Lord. For the earth is filled with his glory. For the God of Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hallelujah. We invoke the name of Jesus Christ this morning. And we say, have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Daddy. Have your way, Abba. In the name of Jesus. Satan, we're coming after you and your kingdom this morning. Your plans are thwarted this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord, that you entered this house already. And I feel your presence even now. And I ask you, Lord, that as I speak, that it will not be me, it will be you. Holy Spirit, you may interrupt this service in any way possible. My ears are open, my eyes are open, and my mouth is open to receive. And I break every distraction amongst God's people. I pray, Lord, that as the word goes forward, it will go with its power and its authority, piercing both bone and marrow like a double-edged sword. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I've told a few people, I said, I feel like a racehorse at the starting gate. Because at the beginning of this year, I was diagnosed with a infection in the heart. So I was sick, I was shivering, I was cold, I was coughing. I would turn blue and we did not know exactly what it was. We thought it was pneumonia. They said, no, it's bronchitis. No, it's back to pneumonia. And then I went to my hospital at Toronto General and they said, no, you have an infection in the heart wall. Your pacemaker received an infection and it's now gone in your heart. You need open heart surgery. I said, well, what about if I don't have open heart surgery? Well, that's always an option. You'll just die. But God. Though the devil tried to play with my mind, saying, ah, you see, that's it. That's it. The enemy tried to come in and attack our family left, right, and center. But men, let me tell you something, that have wives. You do not know the full strength of your wife until you go through absolute hell. And she's standing beside you like a rock. Because when I couldn't do it, when I didn't know how to pray, that woman right over there interceded on my behalf. I saw many people die in that hospital. Many people die. You ever felt the spirit of death walk into a place? It's something I can't even describe. We had times where people were this one lady, she was having liver issues and they couldn't get a vein to put in the IV. And the nurses, it was like it was mass chaos on the fifth floor of the hospital. And that was supposed to be the quiet ward for cardiac patients. And it was amazing to me because I'm like, God, I need a miracle. But these people are fighting for their lives. And I heard many times the voice of God say, I want you to pray. And we prayed and I said, spirit of chaos, you go. Spirit of death, you go. And instantaneously, the peace that passes all understanding flowed through that ward. I was basically fighting for my life. But God said, you want your miracle? Start praying for others. And I started to minister to nurses, to doctors. I had one nurse that came in and said, Pastor, could you pray for my son? I'm like, I'm in need of a miracle. I never really understood it. But until God has places that call on your life, the moment he says, yes, I've choose you, you can't run no matter if you're dying on the hospital bed. I remember the night before open heart surgery, it was very quiet in my room. Very quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And then 12 o'clock hit and they put the sign up. You can't eat or drink after midnight. And I knew, yeah, it's real. And I said, God, any persons that have hurt me, I release them into your care. I do not want to harbor any resentment, any anger. I said, God, I've done what I have to do. Now you do what you have to do. Now let me backtrack a little bit. The surgeon I had was one of the best in Toronto, Dr. Edward Hickey. Nice strapping middle-aged British man. And I had a whole load of questions. Who wouldn't? They're about to open you up. This would be my second time having open heart surgery. And I couldn't remember the first time, but I definitely remember this time. I had a whole list of questions. Doctor came in, spoke for about 20 minutes. He said, any questions? I said, no, you've answered them. And I remember then the morning of the surgery, you know, it got real. They prepped me and all that. And I was in the waiting area. And trust me, you men that don't cry, I had tear ducts I never thought possible. I bawled like a baby. Trust me, there were nurses, surgeons, anesthesiologists, all having a ball fest because they were watching me. I was scared for my life. And then the Holy Ghost just came. And then, of course, they gave me some happy drugs, which was always good. But I felt the very presence of God, and I could hear every one of your prayers individually while they wheeled me into the surgery room. And the doctor said, well, we don't know how long it's going to be, 6 hours, 12 hours, you know, 16 hours, who knows? And there's a possibility he may need a blood transfusion. I only have one kidney, so that would cause kidney damage. And so we just basically said, God, we believe in your report. So the morning of the surgery, I go under, I wake up. First thing I said was, God, I'm still alive. Thank you. Then my surgeon came in, said, Mr. Birch, Your operation was a complete success. We are more than satisfied with what happened. Right when they took the tube out of my mouth, I said, did you need a blood transfusion? Oh, no, everything's fine. How long was the surgery? Oh, about 6 hours. God is in the miracle working business. Ever since then, I have had total reliance on my pacemaker of 100%. Just recently, I went to Toronto General for my checkup. I rely on it 23%. So God is in the miracle working business. You may be going through absolute hell and on your last rope, but let me tell you, the same God that did it for me can do it for you. Enough of me, let's go into His Word. Hallelujah. 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 There's an anointing. Hallelujah. 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 For the Lord says, do not worry. Do not worry. For I have heard thy cry in the midnight hour. Do not worry, do not fret. For I will answer your cry in my time, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I know that you're on your last rope. I can see it. I am not blind. I am omniscient, omnipresent. For thus saith the Lord, today I am scooping you out from the pit. I am scooping you out from the pit, and I am placing you on my mountain of Mount Zion. And I am going to place you in a place that you never thought possible, saith the Lord. Though you're on your last rope, I am going to give you an extension cord of rope. That was for somebody. Roboshianda. Is it God's will to heal? Yes. Some people question. Is it God's will to heal me? Well, some people, you know, they pray for so many years and the person that they love that they've been praying for has died. And then you end up asking yourself the question, is it God's will to heal? Well, you're looking at death through the point of your eyes. Look at death from the eyes of God, and they've received their miracle. To be absent from this body is to be present with God. Get on track, Will. Come on. Turn with me, if you could, please, to Matthew 8. And we're going to do verse 1 to 3. And it's Jesus heals the man with leprosy. And we're about to get the answer to the question, is it God's will to heal me? When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. It is God's will to heal. Though you've been waiting for some time, it is God's will to heal. The man that had leprosy basically asked Jesus, you know, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And what did Jesus do? He reached out his hand and he said, be clean, I am willing. God's going to do that for some of you this morning. How do I receive my miracle if it's God's will to heal? The most obvious answer is faith. Having faith to believe that God is going to do it. Faith is the biggest component to receive your miracle. If you do not have faith, it is impossible to please God. Matthew 8, 5 to 10 talks about the faith of the centurion. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But Jesus said the word, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servants, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Jesus honored the centurion's faith. Jesus will honor your faith. If you have faith believing that your miracle is on its way, he will honor your faith. As he's done for me, as he's done for many people in the past, he is going to do it again. How do I know this? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if that's the case, and we serve a living God, therefore, we need to walk in miracles. Matthew 9, 20 to 22. It's the woman with the issue of blood. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. If I only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She tried doctors. She tried all kinds. Could not heal her. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth was walking by. Jesus was walking by. And she said, if only I touch the hem of his garment, hallelujah, I will be made healed. I will be made clean. And what happened? There were a lot of people touching him during that day, by the way. It was a full crowd. Full crowd of people. And she just crawled over, touched the hem of his garment. And that many people that were touching him, he said, somebody touched me. Well, duh. There was a lot of people. No, somebody touched me. Because that woman's faith released virtue from his body. How many of you are ready to receive that virtue from the Holy Ghost this morning? I believe there's going to be mighty miracles. People, get your faith stirred up. Because I'm telling you, I have gone through hell and back. And I can tell you that the same Jesus that has healed me in the past, the same Jesus who's healed you and you and you in the past is the same Jesus that heals today. I should have died when I was 2 years old. I have now broken the medical, I've now broken that. I'm now 29. Should have died when I was 2. Doctors told my parents, just get an abortion. He won't live past the age of 2 anyhow. But God. I don't say that to boost up myself, because Jesus Christ is Lord. The next thing to receive a miracle is you receive it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healed all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. And healed some? All. So God will heal you today. Amen. It's right there. God healed all. That means every single person in this room is due for a miracle. So not only do you receive your miracle through faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, but you receive it through prayer and petitioning to God. Prayer changes the atmosphere. When you start lifting up the name of Jesus, when you're going through absolute hell, God, who's standing on and sitting on his throne, has to come off his throne and into your situation. Oh, you didn't get that. Hold on. I said, when you give praise to God, when you're going through absolute hell, God has to get up off his throne, come down, and into your situation. God cannot stand when you eulogize him while you're going through hell. He has to get up, because he says, that one is mine. He pushes the angels aside and said, that one belongs to me. So therefore, that situation that you're in, that cancer diagnosis you've received, that diabetes you've been having for years, that arthritis you've been having for years, God sits in that situation, and guess what? That has to go. Because God is not a God of 50%. He's not a God of 80%. When God does a miracle, he goes all the way. And I believe God is going to go all the way this morning. I'm feeling the anointing right now. There's going to be a mighty outpouring of his Holy Spirit this morning. The devil thought he got you down long time ago. But no, the Bible says to pull on the whole armor of God and to go into battle. And we're going to go into battle this morning. You're going to go into battle for your breakthrough. You're going to go into battle for your financial miracle. You're going to go into battle for your family. Because there's going to be household salvation this morning. That as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Raboshianda. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. The devil will not have your family any longer. The devil will not have your body in bondage any longer. I loose the power of God in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, calm yourself down, Will. Come on. You got a few more hours to, I mean minutes to go. Hallelujah. Roboshianda. In James 5:13-16, talking about prayer, the prayer of faith. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing a song. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, and anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is what gets us through the times that we have nothing left in us to fight. How many of you can attest to that? Prayer is what disturbs the kingdom of hell. When you start praying, angels start to go to war on your behalf. When you start praying, the God of heaven takes notice. When you start praying, the supernatural happens. And when the supernatural happens, things that are impossible finally become possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Hallelujah. He that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Your trial that you're going through is not foreign to God. God knows exactly what you need in the exact time that you need. And I have enough faith this morning to believe that that time is now. That time is now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. That time is now. Hallelujah. Your answer is on its way. Your answer is on its way. Thank you, Jesus. How do I keep my healing or my miracle? You receive it, how do I keep it? Well, the first step is to walk in it. Just walk in it. Just, you've had arthritis and you're feeling good, just start moving it. Make the devil mad. Just start moving it. Oh, but it hurts. Oh, but the power of God's so much greater. Just start moving it. You just walk in it. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. You need to walk in it. When you start walking in it, then you'll start to see it grow and grow and grow. Yeah, it may be 80%, but my God, by the end of the day, it might be at 100% because you're still walking in it. You got to tell others what God's done for you. That's a must. You must tell others what God has done for you. Because in Revelation 12:11, it says it very clearly that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony gives strength to the healing and weakens the power of the enemy over our lives. Your testimony, you know, it's hard to go through your test, but when that's over, you got yourself a testimony. And what I went through at the beginning of this year, I would not wish upon anybody. But I do say this, that I got over it. You can too. Nothing is impossible with God. How do you keep your miracle? You overcome fear and doubt. You have to overcome it. Because doubt will try and creep in. The devil will try and say, have you really been healed? You sure? You positive? Check that twinge in your elbow that you thought God healed. Check it. Check it. No, you got to quash those lies. James 1:6-8 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because, hold on, here we go. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So if you doubt in your mind, the Bible says you shouldn't even be receiving anything from God. Because doubt is the main thing that will lose people their miracle. It's so easy to doubt. When I had the news that I had open heart surgery, that I had open heart surgery coming, I said, God, I had it once. I thought I didn't need that again. But then I heard God say, wait and see what I'm going to do in your life. Wait and see. Wait and see the miracles that are going to happen. Wait and see for the signs and wonders that are going to happen in your life. I serve a powerful God. I serve a God that answered by fire against the prophets of Baal. I serve a God that blew like a rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. I serve a God who showed up as a glory cloud in Redding, California. I serve a God who gives gold dust on people's suit jackets while they're preaching. I serve a God of the impossible. Hallelujah. I serve a God whose people who've had stage 4 cancer completely healed. I serve a God. It's a miracle. My old children's pastor at Catch the Fire. Her son was had a surgery on his foot, and he got an infection. And they had to put him in a medically induced coma. And every time they got him out of the coma, he wouldn't know where he is, and he wouldn't know, and then they'd have to put him back under because his body needs time to heal. Well, right now, as I speak, he's now awake. He's now back in Calgary, and he's on the road to full recovery because we serve a healing God. I've seen that time and time again where people have been on their bed ready to go. And then Jesus walks in. You notice every time there were people dead in the Bible, all Jesus had to do was walk in, pick them up by the hand and say they're only sleeping. With Lazarus, he just had to yell at him. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And there he came. He didn't stink. took the clothes off him. Said, we just got to take the grave clothes off. Just got to take the shackles off. Just gotta walk in it. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's the word of Almighty God. You want to know what we have different than a lot of religions? Is go to Israel and look in the tomb of Jesus. What do you see? Right. The tomb of Muhammad's still full. The tomb of Buddha's still full. But the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. Because the power of God came in on that day. And that angel rolled the stone. And Jesus came out with resurrection power. But you notice what happened when Jesus died. And I'm going to end off with this. And then, oh boy, I hope you're ready. Hallelujah. So when Jesus died, what happened? He gave up the ghost, breathed his last, and then an earthquake happened. Okay, so what happened? The dead that were buried started to get out of their graves and start walking. So you would see your granddaddy and your grandpappy and your grandmama and be like, I thought you were dead. But no, they start walking. What else happened? The veil of the temple was torn in two. So what happens? It means that we can now enter into the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Lamb. God gave me a vision when I was recovering from surgery of the throne room doors busted open. When that happened, when the veil of the temple was torn in two, the throne room doors were busted open. That means we can now approach Jesus and say, Daddy, this is what I need. Like Esther approaching the king, we can approach our king and say, Daddy, this is what I need. This is the miracle that I need. Are you ready for your miracle? Are you ready for God to blow the roof off this place? I feel there's a revival train coming. I heard it a few nights ago. The train of revival is coming. Those that are getting on, it's going to be a wild ride. Those of you that choose to get off, all the power to you. But God is doing a new thing. God is going to take highway to a new level. And we are going to see a greater outpouring of this Holy Spirit on this place than we ever thought possible. Come on, start praying. Start praying. Get your faith riled up. Get your faith riled up. Come on, I serve a God of miracles this morning. Can the worship team come up for, please?